Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues, to the program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I'm Tim with Walker and Ray Pritchard's in Kansas City. And Steve Jordahl's here with us in Tupelo. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Good to have you back, Ray. He's back in Kansas City.
Good to be back.
Is that a line from a song there?
It is. Well, kind of. Going to Kansas City.
Going to Kansas City. By the way, guys, Ray, did you see where the Washington Nationals baseball team, the world champions, were at the White House yesterday?
Oh, that was, yeah, and the one of the players put on a MAGA hat, right?
He was the catcher, right?
Kurt Suzuki put on the MAGA hat. He walked up, and the president called him over. He had a good year, and the president didn't know what was going to happen. He put it on. The president, gives him a big hug.
Hugged him.
Gave him a big hug.
The president looked like to me, I finally got a friend. somebody likes me.
Kind of the way it was. But he wasn't the only one. You know, first baseman Ryan Zimmerman also said some nice things, which I actually brought some sound in about that. This is Ryan Zimmerman from Cut 5. This is at the White House.
Mr. President, me and my teammates, first of all, I'd like to thank you for having us here.
Thank you.
This is an incredible honor that I think all of us will never forget. And we'd also like to thank you for keeping everyone here safe in our country.
That drove Twitterville crazy.
Well, Ed has talked about this before. Eva Tagliano, he doesn't think that anybody should not go to the White House
right, for
a celebration like that if invited, no matter what their politics are.
Right.
Because I do remember about 7 or 8 years ago, there was one gentleman from a professional football team there. I forgot which team won the Super Bowl, but anyway, he was pro-life, and he didn't go because President Obama's abortion policies, and he was just one guy. It was, you know, a one-off. But now you have, you know, teams like the Golden State Warriors, the NBA team, who decide not to go to the White House to protest the president. It's refreshing to me. Now, you did have a handful of the Washington Nationals players who decided not to go. Hey, you know, it's America. If you don't want to go, don't go.
Right.
It's your choice. But I do think it's an honor, no matter who the president is, Obama or Clinton or Bush or Trump or whoever it is, it's an honor to be invited to the White House. And then you get to because you're going because it's the White House, right?
Well, plus the fact you won something, right?
You won the national, you won the World Series.
That's right. You won the World Series. So show up, go to the White House. It doesn't mean you're going to vote for Mr. Trump or again. It doesn't matter. Just go. It's the White House and you won. You're the world champions. Show up and enjoy it. That's what I'd say.
It was odd. I saw some tweets from people that I wouldn't suspect would take this position. Bill Kristol has tweeted out, wouldn't it be great if the Washington Nationals at their parade announced that they were politely going to decline the White House's invitation?
Well, they've already gone.
Well, this was the day before. They had the parade.
Well, he's
an
ever-Trumper.
Yeah.
He's kind of irrelevant today. I don't even know where he used to be on Fox and CNN. I don't even know if he's on there anymore.
He is on a
journalism. No, he's not on Fox anymore.
He's a journalism venture with Bill Kristol.
Was that a national?
Well, I wouldn't say it's wrong of me to say he's irrelevant. He is relevant in the Washington political scene, but he doesn't have the voice that he once did. He was a conservative and may still claim to be a conservative.
Yeah, well, because of his blind hatred for President Trump on literally everything.
Right.
Almost like the Democrats, that's what's made him irrelevant because he hates Trump on everything.
Because he becomes irrational.
Yeah, and it's not, well, he just disagrees with him on certain things. But with the visiting of the White House, I mean, if we're at a point where we politicize, when I say we, I'm talking about the left, where we politicize going to the White House for an event.
Because the left jumps on anybody who goes to the White House and they say, see, you're supporting Hitler.
Yeah, right. I know. Right. That's the comparison they make, but that's ridiculous because people go to, been going to the White House for years for these kind of events, and we don't need to politicize.
It's a tradition. And President Trump doesn't get up there and say, you know,
make,
he doesn't make policy announcements.
No.
They're just celebrating their victory. It's a national, as what Ray said, it's a national award that they've done that is to win the World Series. So it's a celebration.
Personally, if a Democrat was in the White House or someone that I disagree with their policies and I was on a baseball team or whatever, I would probably still go in respect for the office.
Yes.
But if those, like some of these players, and even under Obama, there were some that one or two that didn't go for certain reasons. That's like you said, that's their decision. If they want to do that, that's fine. But you don't need to bash the president in the office of the president.
Right.
Just because
and
you
say
don't like
because,
them.
Right. Because some, right, the ones who say, like these people who say, if you go, you support Hitler.
That's crazy.
That's kind of stuff they say.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
He's the president. This is the White House. You won something.
Right.
You have to be a champion by definition, right? So go, whether it's Obama, Clinton, going all Reagan, Nixon, Trump, it doesn't matter.
Right.
It's the White House. Go and enjoy.
And this Japanese, this player's from Japan, right, who came to the U.S.?
Kurt Suzuki is, yes.
Right.
But he's not an American of Japanese descent. He came over here.
I believe he came and like played in the Japanese big leagues.
Catcher. That's the first Japanese catcher I can ever remember in the big leagues. Usually their pitchers are position players other than catcher. But he wore the MAGA hat, and, you know, he was criticized for that. What he said was, hey, I was just having fun.
Yeah,
it was at the White House.
Right.
And you know what? What's wrong with a hat that says Make America Great Again? You know, the left tried to turn that into, you know, that actor Jesse Smollett, the guy who concocted the story in Chicago, you know, said his attackers were wearing, didn't he say they were wearing MAGA hats?
He did.
Yeah, red MAGA hats that they attacked him at 1 a.m.
Right.
There in January. Or February.
The coldest night of the year. Right.
While he was out to get a Subway sandwich.
You need to work on that story, Jesse.
When you're hungry.
You talk about not thinking something through thoroughly.
Go back to the drawing board.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Next story, Steve.
Interesting audio we've just kind of uncovered. James O'Keefe and the Project Veritas team found a hot mic incident with ABC reporter Amy Robach. Amy Robach says she had the Jeffrey Epstein story 3 years before it broke, and ABC wouldn't let her run it. Listen to this, cut 10.
I've had the story for 3 years. I've had this interview with Virginia Roberts. We would not put it on the air. First of all, I was told, who's Jeffrey Epstein? No one knows who that is. This is a stupid story. Then the palace found out that we had her whole allegations about Prince Andrew and threatened us a million different ways. We were so afraid we wouldn't be able to interview Kate and Will that also quashed the story. And then Alan Dershowitz was also implicated in because of the planes. She told me everything. She had pictures. She had everything. She was in hiding for 12 years. We convinced her to come out. We convinced her to talk to us. It was unbelievable what we had. Clinton. We had everything.
Wow.
Virginia Roberts was one of Epstein's victims and had pictures. And as you heard Amy Robach say, the whole shebang could have been broken 3 years before. And who knows if it would have saved other young girls. And
was it? I know that obviously the palace she's talking about,
England.
Prince Andrew's, basically his staff,
right,
tried to squash it. But so are they saying that ABC executives wouldn't let the story air?
She is asserting that ABC has put a statement out since, and she has put a statement out saying Amy Robach put a statement out saying I was frustrated at the moment, and what I had didn't meet editorial standards, and so I was never told what to run or what not to run.
She doesn't still work there, does she? Surely not.
I think she does.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's got to keep her job,
right?
Yeah. And ABC itself said something to the effect that it did not.
Because this was a Project Veritas video.
Project Veritas found the video.
Okay, so when she was talking, what we just heard there, she did not know she was being recorded.
No,
it was hot mic. Which explains the honesty that she's,
right.
the the bluntness that she's using.
Yeah, no, she wasn't. That wasn't that wasn't undercover Mike from Veritas, or it wasn't her visiting with Veritas. It was just she.
When was that recording made, Steve? Relatively recent.
You know what? I can tell you that. Because
she's not denying the accuracy of the comments. She's just backing off from the implication, I suppose.
Well, she stands by what she said.
She did have the story 3 years.
She did have the story 3 years ago. So this was her statement this is what she said after this came out. As a journalist, as the Epstein story continued to unfold last summer, I was caught in a private moment of frustration. I was upset that an important interview I had conducted with Virginia Roberts did not air because we could not obtain sufficient corroborating evidence to meet ABC's editorial standards about her allegations. My comments about Prince Andrew and her allegation that she had seen Bill Clinton on Epstein's private island were in reference to what Virginia Roberts said in the interview in 2015. I was referencing her allegations, not what ABC News has verified through our reporting. The interview itself, while I was disappointed it didn't air, didn't meet our standards in the years since. No one ever told me or the team to stop reporting on Jeffrey Epstein, and we have continued to aggressively pursue this important story, she says.
You know what's baffling is that how Jeffrey Epstein died, and we haven't heard anything. We heard the medical examiner's conclusions, but there's been no investigative findings or results that, because the cameras were mysteriously, the two cameras that would prove if anyone went in his cell were mysteriously cut off.
And the two guards mysteriously fell asleep at the same time.
And all these things, and there's no... Apparently the FBI was going to look at this.
Well, they might still. The DOJ. We just had a renowned coroner, not the one who did the autopsy, but a renowned coroner, look at the autopsy report and note on the way that his neck was broken.
Right.
He said it was not consistent with strangulation or with a suicide attempt.
Mm-hmm.
That someone got him from behind and choked him to death, basically, is what they're suspecting. And so I think there still could be some investigation going on there.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on AFR, Tim, with Steve and Walker and Ray. Next story.
I yesterday came across some audio that just fascinated me. An interview with President Trump in 1980 with a lady named Ronna Barrett. I don't know if you remember Ronna Barrett, Tim.
Yeah.
Well, she interviewed Trump in 1980, and I want to tell you that the tone and demeanor of President Trump was so different from what you get on the campaign trail. Calm, studied, intelligent, just all of the, just really, you know, thoughtful, deliberate. But what he was saying was almost word for word in 1980, what he's saying now. And I put together a little montage of him now and then. This is cut 9.
Our country is winning again, and our country is highly respected again.
It should really be a country that gets the respect of other countries.
Today, is respect the most important thing in your opinion?
Well, respect can lead to other things.
Together, we will indeed make America strong again. We will make America great again.
America is a country that has tremendous, tremendous potential. This country, with the proper leadership, can go on to become what it once was. The country, if we had the one man could turn this country around. The one proper president could turn this country around. I firmly believe that.
Why wouldn't you dedicate yourself to public service?
Because I think it's a very mean life. I would love and I would dedicate my life to this country, but I see it as being a mean life.
It is
mean life.
Very mean life, right.
He figured out how to deal with the meanness, didn't he?
Yeah.
I thought that was fascinating.
It's like Trump, President Trump, then Donald Trump, businessman, was a... Ray, it's like he was a undercover populist / conservative for this whole time.
From the beginning.
Yeah.
If you just take out the difference of the youth, I mean, he could have said those things from 1980. He could be saying them today on the trail. Same man, right?
And he also admitted to Ronna Barrett in 1980 that he was a Republican then. I thought he was Democrat and changed. He might have been Democrat before 1980, But in as of 1980 onward, he's been Republican.
Huh. I know he gave to both parties.
Well, your business interest.
Well, yeah. He's a New York businessman.
Right. Yeah, I think Donald Trump was independent, if you really want to say what his, you know.
He was all three.
Yeah, because he self-admitted this. What's the difference between self-admitted and admitted, huh? I don't know. Right. He admitted this. Remember when he was asked about this, and he said, listen, when I was a New York businessman, I paid off Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah, that's
true. To get things done for my business. He said paid off, but basically it's what he was saying. I made a contribution.
Right.
Yeah, I made contributions to all parties because I had to have relationships with all parties.
Sure.
So I don't think he had, I didn't know what all his political views were. I know he changed from being pro-abortion or pro-choice to being pro-life. That was a dramatic change in his policies. Other than that, he was more of a populist. He even ran. Remember that a lot of Republicans didn't want him to run because he wasn't a lifelong Republican, but he decided to run in the Republican side as a populist, and I think that he probably brought in new people to the Republican Party who wouldn't have otherwise voted,
no doubt,
for the Republican candidate.
One of the things he says in this Ronna Barrett interview from 1980 is that he thinks that somebody with unpopular opinions and thoughts that might be true would have a hard time getting elected over somebody that's not as smart but has a good smile. In other words, if you look good on TV, even if you don't make sense, they're likely to go for it. The country could elect you as opposed to...
In other words, we have a lot of shallow idiot voters out there who I'm going to appeal to.
Shallow idiot politicians I suppose he said.
Shallow and idiotic, I should say.
But, the country doesn't want to hear bad news, even if it's the dose of medicine that it needs.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. That's Donald Trump, then and now. I remember Ronna Barrett. Whatever happened to her? She,
I don't know.
She was kind of like.
She used to be on Good Morning America.
Yeah.
You know,
was she the Hollywood celebrity type?
Yeah.
Gossip columnist, I guess.
A gossip columnist, yeah. Back in the day when they had gossip columnists.
Isn't it amazing the different media treatment that Donald Trump gets now versus then? I mean, then the media, she was just amazed at Donald Trump, and you don't want to run for office. And,
right.
You know, now it's like, Mr. President, when did you stop beating your wife?
Exactly right.
All right, Steve.
All right. A sad story out of New York on the subway. A 79-year-old man who we do not know the name of, but it was videoed by a fellow passenger, was assaulted. He was hit on the head with a stiletto heel, a high heel, for reading his Bible and singing out loud. He was kind of quietly...
Where is this?
This is on the New York subway. And said this gentleman who posted this, whose handle is Fun Mike, said he didn't say anything to hurt anyone. He wasn't even loud. You could barely hear him talk. But this is what he got in return. He was taken to the hospital in stable conditions. He's reported to have received 30 stitches.
Mm.
So this guy, Fun Mike, writes, this old man was just here singing some gospel songs and sharing the word of God to people on the train. He didn't say anything to hurt anyone. He wasn't even loud. You could barely hear him talk. But this is what he got in return from a transgendered lady who hit him on the head with her heels, threw his Bible away, and no one did anything. And you could see in the videos, people just sitting there with their head down while this transgendered person, a guy, I suppose, hit him over the head and caused him to need 30 stitches.
Wow.
And berated him using the foulest language and told him what he could do with his Bible and his faith. And the kicker to this is the New York City Police has put out some information looking for this guy. They say the NYPD is looking for a suspect who is described as a black female with dark complexion, about 6'1", with brown eyes and long red hair.
But it's really a biological male?
According to Fun Mike, he said it was a transgendered lady.
Okay.
So it would be a biological man.
Yeah, New York, and we talked about this in our story meeting today, but some of these liberal cities are turning into a very bad place to live because of the high crime rate and the law enforcement and agencies are less inclined to get involved in certain matters because they don't want to be criticized by the media and politicians. And it's leading to a more hands-off police force, which things like this happen, and it may be a week or two later before actually things get resolved.
So do they have, are you saying, Steve, they have video, this
Fun Mike? This Fun Mike posted video of the attack. He has several videos on his Instagram page showing the aftermath, which is one that it's bloody, but there's no cursing. Someone's urging him to sit down, just sit down, let's take care of you. And the another one that shows the attack, a little bit of the attack, you can see this man from the back. You can't see his face, but he's tall, he's big, and he pounds this guy with a shoe and just curses him up and down.
All right, well, next story.
Did you watch the Dallas Cowboy Giant Monday Night Football game last night, Ray?
I saw it, yeah.
Did you? But you were watching it on TV. Did you guys, either one of you guys, watch the game?
I didn't see all of it, but I saw a lot of it.
Well, you missed something. On the radio, on Westwood One, which does the radio for XM and everything, Kevin Harlan is the announcer, great announcer. And I don't know if they mentioned on the TV, but a black cat got loose on the field.
I just read about that this morning.
Yeah, so
so the TV didn't show it.
Well, I don't know the TV. I think the TV might have showed it. The video that I have of his call is a radio call. I saw a video with the cat there. Now nothing goes on in the field while everybody's trying to get this cat off the field. So they've got time to kill. This is how Kevin Harlan killed the time.
He's walking to the three. He's at the two. And the cat is in the CDW red zone. CDW, people who get it now, a policeman, a state trooper has come on the field, and the cat runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown.
Good call.
Yeah, that's man, that's a pro to come up with something like that. Right on the spot.
And even a sponsor read. Shout out to the CD. Was CDW end zone, and CDW knows things, or whatever their tagline
is. Right, right. He worked it. Right.
I tell you what is kind of annoying about the radio broadcast of college and pro sports today, especially, is that every single thing. High schools do it too. Every single thing.
Sponsored by somebody.
Yes, you got your Burger King first down.
Right. Right.
Huh? You got your Toyota holding penalty.
That's right. Dairy Queen offside.
It's crazy. Everything's got a sponsor. I guess you got to make money. Anyway.
You can make money. I don't know if they have to, but they certainly
can. How
can
we capitalize on every single item?
This is what we need to think of. What is it that the AFA needs to sponsor? AFA.
We need to monetize.
AFA.
I don't know.
Is there a penalty that's family friendly or?
I don't know. We had to come up with something to sponsor. If people want to take advantage of our news service, Steve,
onenewsnow.com. You can find most of the stories that we bring up here and a lot of other great journalism.
onenewsnow.com.
onenewsnow.com on Facebook, on Twitter, and on your One News Now mobile app.
Okay, Ray, thanks a lot, my friend.
Hey, thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Walker.
Yes, sir.
Steve, appreciate it. We thank Fred for his contributions last hour and Brent Creeley for being our producer today. If you want to send us an email, we'd love to hear from you at comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. We hope you have a wonderful afternoon and keep listening to American Family Radio.